Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
Built like someone who could mess you up, like, you know,
a brick.
Just like he's just built like that. He's just someone that you just don't want to mess with.
No, you don't even have to say anything. Just walk in the room. I mean,
seriously,
you just crawl into the fetal position.
I can't imagine being a big old offensive lineman. It's like looking at him like, how am I going to do this? He's just built so differently. Like, he's so quick too, and the leverage he could get. Guy's a man. All right.
Okay.
You know, there's
What?
It's a lot of former football players that I like. There are.
Who are the others?
Well, there's you. You're number one.
You're lying.
See, this is what I have to do, America. I got to get him back now.
No, I'm gone.
I got to get him back.
I know who's number one.
Yeah, this is Boomer Esiason.
Oh, yeah, he probably is, too. He's a colorful character.
Jeez. Boomer, this morning, some of the stuff he was saying.
Yeah, it was right out of the...
I was like, what? I mean...
Right off the talking point sheet.
Couldn't believe it.
I could.
You
I
want action? Expect it here.
Some of the stuff he was saying, I couldn't believe. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Yeah.
There was a couple of words in there I could not believe.
Yeah.
But I was fearful of his life at one moment.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I don't get violent. Me?
It's amazing all the crazy stuff that's going on. We haven't even gotten to this Red Sox story about stealing the
cheating
signs.
Cheaters. And then tried to say that the Yankees were cheating, too.
Yeah.
They were cheating because they were using the Yes Network feed to steal our signal. Really?
This is a confusing one to me, and it's been confusing ever since I read it. Because baseball is just so weird with what it deems okay and not okay.
Right?
Like, and they're unwritten rules. They're written rules. They don't make any... None of it makes any sense.
Yeah.
And we've talked so much about how, trotting around the bases slowly... It's such a big deal that you
showing
have to get and 100 mile an hour fastball thrown at your face. Okay, that makes sense. All right, so now you have even the commissioner of the game talk about how stealing signs is okay. There's no rule against stealing signs.
That's part of it.
It's a part of the game.
Yeah.
You steal some signs. But because now we have electronics, and these guys, when they were talking yesterday, they sounded like your 90-year-old grandfather who has no idea what's going on in the world. You know, electronics, technology. I can't keep up with all of this. But now you bring that into the mix, and now it's a big deal. So let's listen to a little bit of Rob Manfred. I think people know the story by now, but just a quick recap. The Yankees caught the Red Sox, believed that they were cheating, stealing signs using an Apple Watch that the trainer was using, and then relaying.
Damn, Apple.
I don't even know how the hell they did this. And, you know, relaying that information as they were stealing signs to the players that were on the field and in the game and in the box, so, which I just can't, like, I don't even know how you do that. But that's what happened. And then, as Brian said, the Red Sox complained about the Yankees using their Yes Network cameras to steal signs, but that hasn't been substantiated.
So yet. So the Red Sox, they admitted that their trainers had received signals from video replay personnel and then relayed that information via signs to their players.
Right.
Wow.
All right, so this is Rob Manfred saying the stuff I was bringing up about the rules and stealing signs and how confusing this is.
We actually do not have a rule against sign stealing, and it has been a part of the game for a very, very long time. To the extent that there was a violation of a rule here, it was a violation by one or the other that involved the use of electronic equipment.
And he went on to talk about the electronic equipment.
I think the rule against electronic equipment has a number of policy reasons behind it, but one of them is that we don't want to escalate attempts to figure out what a pitcher's going to throw.
And also said that where this issue was going now.
The only thing that I can tell you about repercussions is that to the extent that there was a violation on either side, and I'm not saying that there was, to the extent that there was a violation on either side, we are 100% comfortable that it is not an ongoing issue.
Okay, so it's not going to happen anymore.
Right.
So then what is the discipline for the Boston Red Sox? Where are you going to go with this?
He didn't elaborate on that point. He said they're hoping to have a some type of discipline handed down by the end of the season. So what's it going to be? Is it going to impact what happens on the field? Is it just going to be a fine? This has to be – if this is serious – and, okay, stealing signs is not, but when you're involving electronic equipment and other team personnel, trainers of sort, I think that's serious.
It's blatant cheating. Is
right.
it not blatant
yes.
cheating? All right. Now, I am not a Yankees fan. Brian is. I'm not a Red Sox fan either.
I was until last night.
Right. I'm being as objective as possible here. So you're telling me that there is a team-wide conspiracy now.
Yeah.
To steal signs, to cheat within a game.
Yep.
And you've got guys who use performance-enhancing drugs get caught one time. One player on a team gets 50 games, he gets suspended, okay? Because they deem that cheating. That's against the rules. Now you've got an entire team that's doing it. If you want to try to look at those two things and an impact on a baseball game, the impact on a baseball game, in my opinion, the stealing of the signs impacts the game more than the one guy who's taken whatever
yes,
the hell.
Thank you.
So what is the punishment here?
Yes.
Because if you really want to look and say, all right, what's fair, then they shouldn't be eligible for the playoffs.
This tugs at the integrity of the game.
It really does.
Yes.
But, I mean, but the way that he's just so willy-nilly, there's no rules against it. You do what you can to steal the signs.
Cavalier about it. But then says that there will be some type of punishment handed down by the end of the season. Really? End of the season? How many games did they win by stealing signs in this manner? If you're just out there on second base and you're able to decipher what the next pitch is and you can relay that to the batter somehow, fine. That's been part of it forever. But you've got training personnel that's involved. You got video personnel that's involved. You've got a whole operation that's involved in this deal, man.
Yeah, I know.
This isn't small potatoes here.
This is exactly what the Patriots were accused of. That's exactly the same
Patriots
thing.
The Patriots put them up to it.
But it really, I know those Boston comparisons were being made yesterday all over Twitter. But it really is the same damn thing. You're stealing signs. And now when the Patriots also, the accusation, I guess that was, it ended up being true with them filming practices of other teams. That took it to another level. But a lot of the time they'd have different cameramen, you know, in the game, up in the stands,
right.
wherever, filming the coaches
yes.
taking the signs. So how is this any different than that? Please tell me how it's any different than that.
I'm with you.
And you're going to tell me that they lose a draft pick in the amateur draft or a little bit of a fine that the Red Sox would probably pay with the money that they have in the couch cushions of the front office, then I don't want to hear that. I mean, this is a big deal. The commissioner can't just stand up there and go, I'm comfortable that it's over now. Oh, we don't have a rule. What?
There's no recourse.
What are you, nuts? I mean, and then people are making jokes about it, and, it's not a big deal, and whatever. Oh, it's stealing signs. You're cheating the game. You're not allowed to do that.
And you're going to great lengths to do it.
And then Dave Dombrowski, the general manager of the Red Sox, is up there just like,
the Yankees, they use the Yes Network.
Who cares? Man. This is Dombrowski. Give me number two, Pete. This is him saying that this isn't a big deal at all.
Do I think sign stealing is wrong? No, I don't. No. I guess it depends how you do it, but I've never thought it's wrong. I guess everybody in the game that's been involved with it and throughout the years.
So we went a little further. So what?
I mean,
first play. We just won a 19-inning game.
He sounds like Belichick. Doesn't he sound like Belichick?
Nothing to see here.
Everybody's doing it.
Next question.
Everybody in the game that's been involved with throughout the years.
Everyone uses their training personnel and the video personnel to steal signs and then relay it to their place. Come on. Get over it.
I mean, really? Now, it is, if you want to tell me that you're just using your eyes and you're a guy on second base and you've cracked the catcher code of what he's... Yeah, I think that's okay, right? Because that has been
that's
going on.
That's part of it.
But when you start using these other things, that changes the game not just a little bit. Not a little bit. A lot. It changes it a lot. And I was just shocked that the people who spoke on this yesterday were just trying to move on quickly. Not that I see here, catcher, okay, I guess it matters how you do it. Apple Watch, who cares? Not really. What? Yes, it is. It's a big deal. This is more of Dombrowski yesterday talking about the whole issue.
I think sign stealing has been going on in baseball for a long time. I see somebody that in the back there that played that smiled. I think that it's probably been going on. I've been in the game for 40 years. Oh. I've known of it for 40 years.
We know it's been going on. Tell us something we don't know. Like, why you decided it was okay for your trainer, who's supposed to be worrying about ankles and forearms and things of that nature, why he's involved in a scheme with your video personnel to relay signals back to your players. He's trying to deflect as well. Oh, it's been going on forever and nothing. Boy, it has been going on to this extent, has it?
No.
I mean, there have been... accusations about the Blue Jays, and they've got someone in that hotel and one of those behind the dark glass that's stealing signs. You've had those accusations since they opened up Rogers Center. But this is something totally different. This is a totally different sport we're talking about now, man. Yeah. I mean, you've got a whole organization around this deal. I'm sure these cats were having meetings before the game and all that. Now, where are you going to be situated? Where are you going to be situated? This is the signal today. This is the indicator. Usually that's the coaches telling the players. You know, the third base coach is giving them the indicator. You got the video personnel involved in those meetings now. The trainers involved in the meetings. This is crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy. And I think that how seriously they took the steroid issue, I know it was running rampant through the game, but it was all about the integrity, and it was all about things that, you know, we have cheaters, and this guy's a cheater, and a cheater, and a cheater. And it got to the point now where if you get hit with three of them, you get banned from baseball. I'm sure there's more than three examples of them doing this.
Yeah. They said it was going on for weeks.
Now, I don't expect them to ban the Red Sox from the playoffs. I don't expect them to be something crazy. But I'm just trying to make the point that if you make such a big deal about cheating in baseball and the integrity of the beloved America's pastime and blah, blah, blah.
Our numbers mean more than in other sports.
Dribble and drool and garbage that we've heard for so many years of these guys being vilified for decades because they stuck a syringe in their butt cheek. And now these guys are cheating blatantly within a game, and it's multiple people involved, and it's been going on forever. Oh, we don't have a rule.
everybody in the game that's been involved with it.
What? But, you know that nothing's going to come of this. You just know it. Oh, there's going to be a fine. Oh, we're going to give him a, you know, whatever, $2 million fine, and you'll get a draft pick in the draft taken away.
Whack.
They have 50-some rounds in their draft.
I know.
Nobody cares about that.
Well, what else would they take away?
I know.
Is there anything else that they could possibly take away from them? Nothing. What's it going to be?
I mean,
unless you eliminate them from postseason contention, which is not going to happen either. What really is going to hurt that team? Not money. It's the Red Sox. Well, what are the Red Sox worth? I mean, the Houston Rockets got sold for $2.2 billion.
Wow.
What are the Boston Red Sox worth?
$4 billion?
$5
billion? Man, you must have really wanted that team.
But seriously,
yeah.
if the Houston Rockets
I'm with you.
Are worth $2.2 billion,
yeah.
What are the Red Sox worth? Are you going to tell me a couple million-dollar fine is going to hurt them at all?
No. Fine is not going to do
amateur draft pick, 98% of those guys turn out to be duds.
Who cares?
Nothing's going to happen.
Nothing's going to happen. I don't see anything happening. Nope.
And the way Manfred was up there, I'm confident it's going to be okay. We don't have a rule. What do you mean a rule? It's electronics. It's screwing everything up. With the technology today and everybody with their Apple Watches and Apple iPhones and the camera phones on the phones, and the cameras are phones, and the phones are cameras. I can't keep up with any of it.
We are 100% comfortable that it is not an ongoing issue.
It's not going on anymore. Okay? So everybody relax, because the cheating's over.
Not an ongoing issue.
We're talking about the Red Sox. And at some point, when the iPhone 8 comes out, oh no, there's going to be something else in there, too. I mean, I saw the other day they cloned a sheep. When we have our organizations cloning prospects, then what do? So technology's running our world here. So anyway, there's some snacks on the table outside if you'd like some.
There's some lobster bisque.
Yeah, and you can grab a pop. On your way out. What, are you kidding me with this?
A little slap on the wrist.
Baseball drives me nuts with this stuff.
That's crazy.
I mean, really just... But I tell you, man, if you take, like, you know, something that makes your pee clear, then...
And you hit two home runs.
Yeah, right.
Get out of here.
You put him in jail.
We're banishing you.
You're not allowed in our Hall of Fame. How dare you? You're not allowed in here.
Man.
This is for the people who did it right.
But you conspired with your training staff and your video personnel staff to steal signs.
Bunch of nonsense. All right. Bogus update. Colorado head football coach Mike McIntyre. All next, right here.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
You ever seen Ralphie live?
I have not seen the Bison.
You'll run over your ass.
Buffalo.
Better get out of the way. Folsom Field. What is it? Folsom? No,
that's there. What is it? Colorado?
What is it?
Where y'all play? What is that? A Bison? A Buffalo? I don't even know, man.
That's somebody dressed up like a bison.
Yeah.
Give me my bow and arrow.
A bat giraffe.
There's a bull. You put some hair on.
What is this? Dancing with wolves.
I mean,
that's animal cruelty.
Geo and Jones and Mike McIntyre. What is that, a bull? You got to run around up in that thing. What is this, Pamplona?
You hang out with Ralphie. What y'all talk about? Jerky.
Where y'all play, yeah. Coach?
I can hear the promo now. For the best college football talk. Is that a bison? It's Geo and Joe.
Would be perfect for us, wouldn't it?
Only on Mondays, right?
Beautiful. All right, Bogus, what you got for us, man?
Week 2, now the earliest Ezekiel Elliott's domestic violence suspension can start. The Cowboy running back will play Sunday night's opener with the Giants, even though arbitrator Harold Henderson upheld his 6-game ban yesterday. Henderson's decision, not about guilt or innocence, he simply decided the league followed protocol when considering punishment. A U.S. District Court judge in Texas will rule by the close of business on Friday on the union's petition for a temporary restraining order for Henderson's decision. As you guys were just discussing, the New York Times says the Yankees snitched on the Red Sox last month.
Where I'm from, snitches get stitches.
They also get two-run Manny Machado walk-off homers. Dellin Betances retired the first two O's he faced in the ninth, but then walked Tim Beckham. John Sterling knew what was coming next.
Well, I mentioned that the last thing you want to do is walk Beckham to bring up Machado as the winning run. And Machado hit it out.
So Baltimore won 7-6 after trailing 6-1.
Lead the majors in blown saves.
And 24 one-run losses, too, is a MLB high, I believe, as well. Yep. The Red Sox then went 19 innings with the Jays before winning 3-2 on a Hanley Ramirez RBI single. All after that report, which said the Yankees reported the Sox to MLB for using an Apple Watch in the dugout to steal signs. Commissioner Rob Manfred was at Fenway by chance last night, said the Sox couldn't have cooperated more. It's not clear if Boston will be punished. Back on the field, the Indians dropped the White Sox 9-4 for their 13th straight win, just 12 in a row for the Diamondbacks after a 3-1 win in 10 at Dodger Stadium. The Angels control the second AL wildcard this morning after an 8-7 win in 10 in Oakland, and the Twins 2-1 loss in Tampa Bay. And Cameron Maybin made the Astros a winner in Justin Verlander's debut.
Here's a pitch with a runner going, swinging a fly ball deep left field. Cameron Maybin has hit a two-run shot to give the Astros a 3-1 lead.
And that was the final in Seattle. Bill Brown, Astros radio, Verlander allowed just one run while striking out six over six. And Venus Williams beat Patrick Kvitova in a third set tiebreaker to reach the U.S. Open semifinals. Boys?
All right, thanks, Bogus. You're joining us right now. Colorado head football coach Mike McIntyre. Coach, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. 17-3 victory over Colorado State in the opening game of the season. You got your home opener against Texas State coming up. What were some of the things that you saw in that first game that you want to improve on in game two?
Well, we started out really fast. We were clicking offensively, defensively, and special teams, and then we had a turnover middle of the second quarter, and that kind of stymied us a little bit, and we just didn't finish like I would like us to. So we've got to make sure we're able to keep playing and come back out in the second half and be able to put more points on the board. But I thought overall for our first game that everybody played hard, we played sound football, and we can really make a big improvement from last week to this week.
Coach, as you just mentioned, you hadn't played a ball game. Colorado State had a game under their belt, knocked off Oregon State. Is that a disadvantage for your club?
I do think it is a little bit of a disadvantage. When you go play, and you know this, when you know you're out there working and you're practicing against your guys, and you get out there in the speed of the game, and then you know the game. You get a little anxiety. You get a little. You just kind of wear off a little rust. I always believe. Coaches have always said this, but I still believe it's true. The reason you improve so much from the first game to the second game is it's live bullets. And now everybody listens a little better when they see a live bullet happen to them on film and go, okay, yeah, that can happen. And so we'll make some adjustments on that with our guys. Mainly it'll be them learning from some little fundamental things they did and understanding things. And then the speed of the game picks up too. So was pleased that we won the game. I wish we would have finished the game better, but we still won it.
I read that you and your staff studied the comeback that UCLA had over Texas A&M. Why was it important to you to go back and watch how they did that?
Well, we try to do that with a lot of different games. End of the game situations, how people handle them. You know, would we handle it the same way? And then you watch somebody go, oh, I wouldn't have thought of that. That's a great way to handle that situation. And so we're sitting there. I knew UCLA was getting beat bad, and we were working on Texas State late, and one of our guys had it on while he was working. He goes, Coach, you got to come see this. They're on their way back. So there was about 5 minutes to go in the game. I think it was 44-31 when I saw it. And I said, guys, let's sit down and get out our time chart, you know, our chart that we follow for two-point conversions, for timeouts, for everything you do, different situations that could happen, and let's see if everything holds up. And we sat there and watched it from the Texas A&M point of view and the UCLA point of view, and we did learn a couple things from it, and it was a good teaching moment for all of us.
What'd you learn? Keep trying to run the ball and let the play clock get down past 15 seconds?
Yeah, there's some things that you learn in that. There is no doubt. And then one of the things that we kept pointing out to our team, because it happened the next day too, my alma mater got beat by Tennessee and Georgia Tech, and mm-hmm. It all came down to some blocked field goals that really changed A&M game, UCLA A&M game. If UCLA doesn't block that field goal, I don't know if they win it, you know. And then also vice versa, Tennessee blocked Tech's field goal, and I just said how important that one play is, either protecting it or blocking it, how important that one significant play is. And so we talked about that as a team and went back over our field goal again today and yesterday and showed them how important it was. We always do on Monday, but we had an added emphasis on it. And so things like that, you can have a lot of good teaching moments, not only for yourself, but also for your players. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. Nothing stays the same, and that's one way we try to do that.
Coach, yeah, I'm glad you brought up Georgia Tech because Tennessee, that defense, I think it's the fifth game in a row going back to last season where they gave up over 400 or 500 yards of rushing offense. Now, are all stats like that as far as the rushing? I see them differently. When you're going up against a conventional offense, that's one thing. But you're going up against that option offense, even though you had all summer to prepare for it, it's nothing until you see the real thing. And Georgia Tech, they know how to run the real thing like it's no one's business. So do you look at that differently when your defense struggles against an option offense as opposed to a more traditional offense?
Well, I definitely think you do look at it a little bit different. There's no doubt because that's a whole unique thing. They won't play another team like that this year when they're in that situation. The thing that going against an option team, because I've gone against them a lot in my past, and especially being a defensive coach, is it teaches you a ton of the fundamentals of how to squeeze the blocks, how the linebacker, either he's going to be underneath the block or over the top of the block. He's got a hat and hand it, you know, the understanding all those concepts, understanding where your leverage is, if you're inside or outside the quarterback, if you're spilling it to someone, if you're boxing it to someone. Because really, truly, run stoppage, unless you just get overpowered, is how you fit the run, where you know your help is. And you learn those things with it. But, you know, Georgia Tech's quarterback, the one thing you can't demonstrate in practice to your guys, that guy was slippery. I mean, you know, they got to him. They just couldn't tackle him. I mean, he's really, really good. And, of course, I'm biased. That's my alma mater. So I was bummed out when we didn't win it. But I was impressed with that young quarterback. I really was.
Gio and Jones with Mike McIntyre, Colorado head football coach across the country on CBS Sports Radio. What point in the season do you know what you have with your team? Because I've asked that question to a couple of coaches. Some say before the first game I knew, and some say, well, it took about 6 or 7 games where I really knew who they were. What's the answer when it comes to your teams?
I think it goes individually, to be honest with you. I think that you know about a lot of your guys, and then you're putting new guys out there, or you switch a guy to another position and try to make a position move that would help your team get another good player on the field. And until they've actually played under the lights and had some bad things happen to them under pressure and how they respond, then you kind of know about those guys individually. Then that makes your team up. That gives you your team makeup. Because there's a lot of guys that have played quite a bit. I remember Coach Parcells, when I was coaching for him, would always say, hey, some of the veterans, hey, I just got to see you do it a couple times in the preseason game, and that's all I need. No, you still got it. And I used to think, well, you know, we're trying to mix our team up. I got to know who the players are, if they still have it, if they can do it. And then I know how my team is. So, yes, you kind of build your overall team, and you kind of know your strengths and weaknesses. You think you know going in. Sometimes it tweaks a little bit. And sometimes you have to make some changes through the course of the season early on. But hopefully you've got everybody in the right place and everybody responds.
How do you keep your team from being complacent? After the great year you had a season ago, you played for the conference championship versus Washington. Just a fantastic year. First 10-win season, I believe, since 2001. How did you keep them from being complacent?
The way our season ended, it didn't end well. You know, we got beat pretty bad by Washington in the second half of the Pac-12 championship game, and then we went to Oklahoma State, which I kept saying all along was like the second best team we played all year, and everybody's like, are you kidding me? Their offensive talent is off the charts, and I think everybody can see that now. Expect their weapons, and then they had a running back that's made a pro team too now, one of their other running backs. And we got beat pretty good there. So our kids came back, the graduates that helped us get here. They graduated. Some of them are playing in the pros. Some of them are out in jobs now and doing well. Our guys came back extremely hungry and had a bad taste in the mouth the way everything ended. and they also wanted to keep it going because all they hear around here was that a fluke? Was that a fluke? Was that a fluke? And I think that motivates you. I really do. So they still got a chip on their shoulder.
You have a new defensive coordinator, DJ Elliott. He comes over from Kentucky. Jim Leavitt, last year's coordinator, is now at Oregon. Why was Elliott the right fit for your program?
Elliott ran the exact same defense at Kentucky we run here. There's kind of a little coaching tree within the 3-4. I don't know if you've noticed, the 3-4 is starting to come back.
Yep.
And what we did is we kind of made it a little bit of a hybrid 3-4. We don't always play with two true outside linebackers. We play with a big safety athletic guy, so against spread teams, we can still use him kind of like a nickelback, so we can do some multiple coverages. And so that's really helped us, and some people have kind of copied that from us. He was doing a lot of that at Kentucky. So there's about five or six schools that do that. Now there used to be nobody in our league running the 3-4, and now there's four teams in our league running the 3-4. So I think that's – I got somebody that was going to run that defense that I wanted to run that I put in, and now we can keep it going. We didn't change terminology. We didn't change anything because we've recruited to it, and hopefully we can keep playing good defense.
Well, cool, Coach. We appreciate you joining us. And tell big old Jeremy Irvin, Brian Jones, said hello. I'm good friends with his Aunt Helen.
Okay, I sure will, Brian. I appreciate you. I know you Texas guys like to stick together.
That's right.
He would probably like me to tell you he'd like a Whataburger right now.
Now. You're making me hungry.
They always have a debate out here because when we go to California, I get in and out. And we haven't played in Texas yet. And I always hear the kids from Texas because we have so many kids on our team from Texas also. They're always arguing, oh, Whataburger's better than In-N-Out. No, In-N-Out's better than Whataburger. So, and to be honest with you, I love them both, living in California.
Look at you. The diplomat that you are.
I have too many of them when I go both places.
Well, I take a Whataburger, but In-N-Out's not too bad.
Thanks, right. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it. Best of luck.
Okay, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
There's Mike McIntyre, Colorado.
Whataburger. Whataburger.
Coach.
Yeah. It's Whataburger, damn it, dude. Whataburger.
Whataburger.
I don't know anymore.
It's Whataburger.
All right, fine.
Quit tripping.
You didn't ask about the buffalo. I was waiting for that.
Oh, Ralphie? Oh, man, I forgot about the beef jerky. Cole, what's up with Ralph? He doing all right? Yeah, he doing fine.
That was the most obscure Brian Jones 6 degrees of separation.
What's that?
Usually it's like a former, because you know everybody. Mm-hmm. So usually it's a former teammate or someone that you played for or someone from Texas. But Aunt Helen?
Aunt Helen, man. Yeah. That's my dog. That's my partner. She's on the board of directors with the Boys and Girls Club with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Jeremy and his other brothers, he has a twin brother that played there at Colorado, another younger brother. All three actually went to Colorado. And so I took them out for a burger one day when they were in Austin, man.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Did you pay for it?
Of course I did. Okay. What kind of question is that? You think I'm going to have the kids pay for it?
I don't know. I'm just making sure.
Why,
you know?
Why do you have to make sure?
It's an improper benefit. I told you.
Hell with the NCAA.
All right. We're going to come back.
Was that redundant?
Yeah, it is.
Double AA?
Double AA is just a little bit redundant.
Whataburger. That needs to be redundant. I take one right now. And Bob. Breakfast on a bun. Yeah.
Whataburger.
Yes, and a taquito with cheese.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's some good stuff.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Cool Mark 72.
What's up, Cool Mark 72, dog?
He's a great listener, great tweeter, very complimentary, this Cool Mark.
Yeah, he like her.
He said, should Roger Goodell be fined the equivalent of his salary when he makes a wrong decision that involves a fine or suspension?
Well, who is going to say that he made a wrong decision?
Nobody.
No one.
Yeah.
Especially the folks that hired him and are paying him $40 million.
Well, that's the problem is you'll never be able to prove that he was wrong.
Yes.
And there's nobody, I mean, when you're the king, there's nobody above you going, I mean, the owners could. I guess the owner, because he's really works for the owners.
Right.
But.
He's doing their bidding.
Right. But he's also lining their pockets.
Yep.
So.
In a big way. Big old way.
It's O Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. For a limited time, you'll find double point offers on appearance items,
oil specials, and more. If you're not a member yet, sign up today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So we talked about one of the Fertitta brothers buying the Rockets for $2.2 billion.
Damn.
And
a lot of cake.
The Fertitta brothers, as you know, were part of the UFC triumvirate. Mm-hmm. And then...
Didn't know he was a Houston cat.
Yeah. And then Lorenzo decided that he was going to go ahead and... buy the Rockets for a couple billion after they sold the UFC for, what was it, $5
billion? Yeah.
They sold the UFC for. So making an investment in the NBA. Pretty remarkable stuff when you think about it. But this isn't, to me, as much about the Rockets as it is about the NBA and the value of these franchises now and what we're going to see in the future. But you probably won't see as many sales, though, because it's just going to get astronomical, and because the value of these franchises is what it is, I mean, generally the people that own them are making a crap ton of money, so you really got to make a big-time offer. But as I mentioned before, if the Rockets are worth $2.2 billion, what are the Lakers worth? What are the Knicks worth?
Right?
What are the Celtics worth?
Was it Les Alexander, right?
Yes, always was a former owner.
Yeah, former owner, and he bought the team for $85 million. What a hell of a ROI. I mean, that's just amazing. Is Toyota Center included in this deal, or is this just the franchise? I mean, all the players' homes included in this deal, is it just the franchise? I mean, what? 2.2? I never imagined that type of valuation for the Houston Rockets.
I know.
Really?
Well, what did Ballmer buy the...
$2
billion? Was two, but
he overpaid.
Right.
And we were discussing this while we were doing football business last night. They say Ballmer, he used about 9% of his wealth to purchase the Clippers. Oh. And Fertitta, 70% of his wealth, which is fine. I mean, he still got a billion left or something like that. So whatever it takes. But he really wanted to be owner. And as been reported, he tried to purchase the team years ago, and that fell through. But, man, I don't know. Yeah, what are these? What are the Lakers worth? What are the Celtics worth? If the Rockets can go for $2.2 billion.
Well, if you think it was a couple of years ago now that the Clippers went for two, now you have the Rockets, which are not in one of the top two markets or three markets in the country. I think they're a top 10 for sure. They might even be a top five.
They have to be a top five.
Yeah.
I would bet they are.
Yeah, so you probably have the Lakers. I mean... $7 billion.
Now, I thought the Yankees and the Cowboys were the most valuable franchises out there. Now, I thought the Cowboys were at $2 billion. Now, you're telling me the Rockets are right there with the Cowboys? No way.
No, the Cowboys are probably 10.
Better be. And the Yankees have to be about 15.
It's insane. Well, also, I think the Rockets, too, have a huge international following because of Yao Ming.
That's an international city, man.
Yeah.
There are so many different nationalities that live there in the Houston area. It's amazing.
But not only that, when Yao Ming was there, the Chinese fans that would watch, they all became Rockets fans.
Yep.
And they still are Rockets fans.
Huge Asian population, huge African population. It's just amazing, the melting pot that congregates there in the Houston area.
Yeah, it is. It is incredible. And what was that? Marbury said that Houston tried to get him to come back.
Yeah, when we had him on the show, he said that Houston tried to get him to come back to the NBA, but he said no, thank you.
That makes sense. I mean,
well, he didn't know they were worth $2 billion.
Did you see Marbury tweet about us? Put out a tweet.
When? What did he say?
He said, "Yeah, you guys are cool. You work well together."
Oh,
yeah.
Man, tell our bosses we can get a raise.
Stephon Marbury is going to help. Imagine Spitz.
I think there's going to be some cash. About
our program director, Eric Spitz. Listen, guys, sit down. So I got a call from Stephon Marbury, and he thinks you guys work well together. Mm-hmm. So we're going to bump up your salary just a little bit.
I can see that.
So just take his advice, you know. So okay, see you later. Have a good day,
Eric Spitz.
Can I get some money too, boss?
No. Who asked for that? Who was that talking? I'm trying to find his Twitter account. I'm not finding it.
Oh, it's like Starberry Marberry. It's like, I don't know. He's got some weird.
Starberry, because the one I found had one tweet.
Starberry. No, that's Starbucks.
That's Starberry.
There he is. I am P Star. Oh. That's him right there.
Oh, he did it from Starberry. That's why.
Starberry Marberry.
Yeah. Okay. He doesn't tweet a lot.
That's not him either.
Well, you said Starberry.
No. Go back.
Man,
you ought to worship the internet.
You better stop yelling at me.
Oh, I'm just tired.
I don't know about these internets. I'm like those cats at the Redskins. I mean, the Red Sox.
It's IMP Star. But still Star.
IMP.
No. Just what? Go to Starberry Marberry. You'll
That's
see.
What I did.
No. Stop. All right. Starberry. Let's see. IMP Star.
No.
Go back. Go back.
The Starberry Marberry.
Just get rid of Marberry for a second.
Starberry.
There we go. Click
Where?
On the first one.
I am peace. I have peace.
That's
oh,
it.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. That's some follow. What a tweet. Mm-hmm. He said, we cool. Especially that black fella.
You gotta scroll down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Scroll down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, keep scrolling.
Keep scrolling.
It was a while back.
Oh, I'll find it. Talk about some. It's
somewhere in there.
I
think it might have been a response to a tweet, so maybe you're going to miss it.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Damn.
He did it.
I tweeted out the photo of the three of you guys, and he quote tweeted it, Brian.
What does that mean? Quote tweeted it.
You quote tweet a lot.
Oh, so is that good? Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
Hey. Cool brothers. You guys work well again. You damn Skippy, we do.
Yeah, see?
Better recognize.
That was worth it. Those 2 minutes of you trying to find it.
That was 4 days ago. So what? I'm late.
Isn't that one of your phrases? This fish is 4 days old.
That's 4 days old. I ain't buying it.
Did you see Wilson Contreras? I love this stuff. So Cubs catcher Wilson Contreras, who hasn't played in a while now, since August 9th, he's been on the DL. He's had a hamstring injury. So Mia Khalifa is the former adult film star is back. So
did somebody put her in her place?
So there was a. This is another one of those he claims he was hacked things, but I just don't believe it. So he writes all the way back on August 4th. I'm sure you get a lot of this, but I'm a big fan of you. And then writes a bunch of emoji kissy faces. And it goes, it'll be great if you just say hi. And she responds back, bye. And he writes back, LOL, good morning, good afternoon. My friend, with a M-I, friend with a fire emoji. I hope you're doing good. He just constantly would hit her up. And then she tweeted out, Cubbies, your man is wandering around left field. Can you come get him?
Isn't that the one that just got in some trouble with his wife? Which Cubby was that? Had the trouble with the wife?
I don't remember.
Instagram.
I don't know.
Family friend put all the business in the street.
That was not Wilson Contreras.
Okay.
It was Addison Russell. I don't know. I don't remember.
So anyway, she rebuffed him. Like, no.
But she did the snapshot of the DMs and put it up there for everybody to see and said, Cubs, what are you doing? So
making her relevant.
So, of course, the representatives for Wilson Contreras said his Twitter account was hacked. I mean, come on. Listen, you're hitting up the porn star. You wanted her to respond to you. Just own it. Will you own it already, you people with the DMs and the Twitter accounts and the hacking? Enough. Own the damn stuff.
He's a snitch.
She is. Thanks, too. Big show today.
It was a huge show.
Mike McIntyre.
Yep.
Justin Tuck.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Dash.
Brian Jones.
Well, always.
Yeah.
Fly. Mikey B. PDB. Vogan. We'll talk
interrupting
to you tomorrow.
You.
Yeah. She's still doing it. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.